Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If anybody has a 9-volt battery in their pocket, we could use it. Larry's out of batteries this morning. Any announcements this morning? Any announcements other than don't forget the silent auction for April 22nd. If you have anything you want to donate or help donate, we would take it. Thank those who was at the work day yesterday. We got quite a bit done. A little confusion on the cement, but I think we'll straighten it out sooner or later. So, Jim? Yes. Okay. Effective April 1st, the men's group has kind of took on the duty of paying for the first service nursery worker. So we'll have a nursery worker here from 8 to 12. So if anyone's knows if anybody wants to come to the first service that needs a nursery, we'll have a nursery available from 8 to 12. Okay, it'll be Mandy, the lady that does the 10 to 12 service now. She'll start on April 1st. Anything else? Any other announcements? If someone would pass out the ritual registration pads, please, and get those, please sign them and let us know you're here. Open your bulletins and look. I'm not going to go over anything else. I think the rest of it's pretty self-explanatory. Any first-time visitors? Okay. Any prayer, praise requests?
Melanie's mom, she went to Maryland, and some of us received emails and others have received them. Different ones, but mom is very sick, but they're going to do surgery. Who got that last email that they were going to do surgery? Savetta did. They found a neurosurgeon that would do it. Something about her neck is real weak. Kidneys were failing earlier in the week, so lift her up.
Anyone else? If we take just a moment, Pete, you'd like to say something? Bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. Amen. Our responsive reading this morning is our call to worship is responsive. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
So come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, singing joyful songs of praise.
Good morning. We have just some wonderful old songs of the church to sing this morning. So let's stand and turn to page 234, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We'll sing all four verses.
Crown Him with
many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but His own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and sides, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends His wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through Him given from yonder glorious throne. To Thee be endless praise, for Thou for us hast died. Be Thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified.
Let us bow for prayer.
Lord God, You deserve that we offer many crowns unto You. Jesus, You deserve that we just bow down before You, or bring crowns and place upon Your head. Lord, You have been so good, and You still are so good. And we come this morning to offer praise to You. Lord, we pray that You will so move in our lives in this gathering that Your name would be glorified, that a crown would be placed in our name upon Your head. Thank You for calling us together. Thank You for wanting us to come into Your presence. Thank You for wanting us to live eternally in Your presence, and for sending Jesus to pay for our sins, that we might experience forgiveness and obtain eternal life through faith in Him. As we have come this morning, Lord, we come offering our meager prayer, but we come also praying as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
It's the time of the service when we statement of faith in unison, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he arose again from the dead. He descended in heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Confessing our sins. Call to confess. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach God with confidence in faith and penitence. Let us confess our sins before God and one another. We say in unison, the people confessing, Holy and merciful God, in your presence, we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Forgive our sins and help us live in the light and walk in your ways. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, you bow your head and continue confessing. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Amen.
And because it's the gift of God, we need 1,000 tongues to thank Him. Turn to page 76 in your hymnal. These are short verses, and I was trying to figure out which one we could leave out, but the words are all so good. Let's just sing all of them this morning.
For 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood availed for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
Kim has a friend with her this morning, and we are going to be blessed with some music from them.
I want to introduce you all to my best friend. This is Sheila Petty, and you all have heard her name quite a bit because she's been on the...
Don't start now.
She's been sick.
She had a stroke 3 years ago.
3 years ago, this next month, I had a massive stroke and pretty much bit the dust. So I'm here to tell you today that God is good. God has been very good to me. And I love him so, and I love to praise his name in song. And if Kim can compose herself, we're going to try to do a song for you.
They know I'm a crybaby when I sing.
She has been for a long time.
Oh.
Mighty God and the Prince of Peace.
time in our service for offertory sentence this morning is each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If the ushers would come forward, please. Open your bulletin to follow along. Our scripture lesson this morning is John 12:20-33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said it was an angel who spoke to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment of the world, and now the prince of the world will be driven out. But when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show them the kind of death he was going to die. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Turn your hymnal 175. We're going to sing the first and the third verse. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
The hour has come. I believe from the scripture lesson that we can determine the hour or the time that Jesus was talking about. I want us to think about first this morning glorifying God. And that word is used in this passage how many times? Glory or glorify? Glory or glorify? Can you define the word glory? Do you have a definition of what it means to glorify God? What are we talking about when we speak of glorifying God? A couple of months ago, I met with a group of ministers for a study, and the word glorify God came up, or the phrase, and one of them asked, trained minister in his 80s, he said, what are we really talking about when we speak of glorifying God? What does glorify mean? And we each offered our understanding of that, or some of us did, maybe not all of them. Webster tells us, actually the American Heritage Dictionary, but when we refer to the common dictionary, don't we usually say Webster? Webster gives a great, or I understand it to be a great, definition. Exalted honor. So we're honoring somebody in an exalted way, a lifted up way. We're offering praise to someone when we glorify them. We are showing how much we adore. We are speaking our thoughts of how much we adore. Or the word we use often is adoration. We try to open each worship service with a prayer of, used to call it the invocation. That was, if you invoke something, you invite someone to be with you. So we were inviting God to be with us. And then somebody read the passage and say, God doesn't have to be invited. He's already present. So express praise. Express how much He means to us when we gather for worship to start the worship service. But we don't have to be in a worship service to express our adoration for God, our praise of God. One part of the definition is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving given in worship. The definition of glorify is to bestow glory, honor, or praise.
And then I put a note in here, a theological word book. So I go and pull my theological word book off of the shelf and turn to the G's and couldn't even find the word glory. And looked again and couldn't find the word glorify. So very quickly I gave up. I thought Webster's definition was sufficient for us today. John reports in his gospel, John's gospel, John is reporting that some Greeks come seeking to see Jesus or to meet Jesus. They go to Philip and Andrew, and possibly they went to Philip and Andrew because Philip had a Greek name. They tell Philip and Andrew, take the message to Jesus. Jesus responds. And his response is about his glorification. The hour has come, he says, the hour has come, or the time has come, for the Son of Man to be glorified. What is he saying? What is he talking about? What's going to happen to him? Or how is someone glorified? And we've talked about praise and honor and adoration, accolades placed upon a person or offered to a person. But what was Jesus talking about? He was talking of none of this. Jesus was talking about being killed. Someone would call this maybe a paradox. How will he be glorified? He'll be glorified by being nailed upon a cross. He will be glorified by dying. That's a little different than our normal definition of glorifying or giving glory to. Quite a bit different. But Jesus goes on to illustrate his impending or his approaching or his soon to come glorification that would come through death. And he did it by talking about a seed of grain. How many has ever planted a seed? Is everybody in here, I'm assuming, has somewhere along the way planted a seed? Help me out. So we kind of, you've seen it happen. And you dug it up every day to see what was happening to it, right? We've probably all done this to see what was happening. That's not the way it works. Some people even put their seeds in water before they put them in the ground to let them swell and sprout, and then they bury them. But Jesus wasn't talking about this. He's talking about a seed of grain being put in the ground. And when I read this, I always think about corn. But the scriptures say wheat. But King James, that I was brought up on, and many of you were brought up on, King James Version says, confuses me, says a corn of wheat. So I thought, well, we could translate that corn. A corn of wheat. Maybe where that comes from, I don't know what those translators that translated the King James, don't know where they were coming from or what, but a corn of wheat. So I can identify, though, with corn because I grew up in corn-growing country and cotton-growing country. Now, not the Midwest, but the South. We didn't grow wheat. It was too warm, I think most people say it. A few people tried to grow wheat. So who's ever raised wheat? Around here, I know Pete has. Anybody else? One wheat farmer here. But numerous people around here. But you take the seed and put it in the ground. And say, I can identify more with corn. And I like to think of a yellow corn. And put it in the ground. And it swells, gets moisture, and it causes it to swell,
and the skin pops open. And a few days, a little green sprout pokes its head out of the ground. Some leaves poke their head up out through the dirt. But we don't have to just talk about corn or wheat. We could talk about watermelons. Who's ever planted some watermelons? Help me out here. Okay, all of it, that's more identified with that. Or we planted some beans. Well, the same goes with cotton. You plant a little kernel of cotton seed, and it sprouts. Gets damp, breaks open. You plant it, bury it under the ground, though. Soon it is a few inches tall with a few leaves, or if it's corn or wheat, a few blades of green foliage. But the final result with the wheat or the corn or the watermelon is a lot of produce if things are done right. If it's a good growing season and the land is right and the nutrients are there in the soil. The final result with the wheat is a head of wheat. You planted one little seed, and maybe Pete can help me here. Should have asked him earlier, but how many grains of wheat might come from one little seed? A bunch. So I'm not too far off, even if I don't know much about growing wheat. Okay. Or if it's corn. You'll have one grain of corn, and the stalk, big stalk, will come up, and there'll be at least one ear of corn on the stalk, maybe more. And it produces many, many, many. But there's no production unless that grain of wheat is put in the ground and buried, dying. And like that one grain of wheat dying to produce much more wheat, Jesus used this illustration. This is not one that I came up with. Jesus used this illustration to say that he must die in order to be glorified. I'd like for us to read verse 24 again. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And then if you will drop down and read verse 32. But when I am lifted up from the earth, but I, when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all men to myself. Speaking of being nailed to the cross is what he is talking about. Being nailed, lifted up on the cross. And then he said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. He left very little to speculation in this matter of his death. He was going to be nailed to a cross. We talked about the cross in somewhat in detail last week, did we not? If Jesus dies and is buried, he will rise up and will produce many disciples. If he dies, is buried, and that's what we say we know happened to him, or we believe happened to him in the creed, and is resurrected to new life, he says there will be a great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. In his time, while he is living, and in future generations. And hasn't that come all the way down to us? We're here because Jesus died and was buried and rose again. There's still a great harvest to harvest out there. Flashed on, I think it was Channel 2. You may have been watching Channel 2 about 6:45 this morning. I believe I got this quickly and I couldn't grab a pencil real quick. But it said that 76 million people avoided church. Now, if we can get the story of Jesus, death, burial, resurrection, and calling us to be His disciples, because through that death, burial, He paid for our sins. And through that resurrection, He exemplified eternal life for those who would trust in Him. We could have a greater harvest. I think they said 34% of the people that they questioned, and it was a sampling, attended church on special events. But 64% prayed regularly. Now what that means, I don't know. And I had to run and get a pencil and try to remember, and by the time I got back, some of these figures were gone. But I did remember the 34% that go to church only on special occasion, but 76 million avoid church. Have we not, we who are in church, been such people that we would invite them into the fellowship of Christ's kingdom? I thought that was worth injecting this morning. Verse 25, right there before you. Jesus talks about loving life. The man who loves his life will lose it, but the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus, I think, enjoyed being upon the earth and mixing and mingling with friends and doing the great things that He did. The preaching, the teaching, the healing, the miracles that He performed. And most of us enjoy life upon the earth. There are enjoyable parts of it. But I think what Jesus is saying, relatively sure what Jesus is saying, if we get so wrapped up in this life that we forget about life eternal, we have missed the point of life itself. Let's read verse 25 again. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. William Barclay commented on this, and he says that Jesus is saying, and I think he is right, I understand him, that only by death comes life. And the grain of wheat describes that, or illustrates that. The next thing Barclay says, only by spending our life do we retain it. And then a third thing that Barclay says about this statement, that Jesus is saying that only by service comes greatness. Look at verse 26. Whoever serves me must follow me. We can't serve Jesus by following Satan. We can't serve Jesus really by following our own inclinations and desires. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. And then that verse goes on, my Father will honor the one who serves me. If we want to produce converts among those 76 million people, if we want to bring more people into the kingdom of God, is Jesus not saying that we must die to self and give up some of our own desires and go and spend some time doing what Jesus calls us to do, and that's bear witness to those in the world? If we want to produce converts for Jesus, disciples for His kingdom, we must die to self. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, this talk about dying was not something that Jesus eagerly looked forward to. We eagerly look forward to that first ear of corn that we can pull and have fried corn right out of the garden. We eagerly look forward to that first mess of beans that we can obtain when we go and pick the beans. We eagerly look forward to that watermelon that we can go out and gather and maybe even break open in the field and dig in with our hands and eat it. We eagerly look forward to that. But do we eagerly look forward to digging in the dirt and planting the seed and hiding it away? Jesus did not eagerly look forward to death. He knew it was part of His calling. He knew it was why He came to earth. But what did He say about it? It was troubling. He said, I'm troubled. I'm distressed, if you will. This dying thing. Death. We all shed tears, do we not? Even those that we know who are going to be with God. A greater place than this life. And we preach about it. We still shed tears. We hurt when a loved one leaves us. Some people say, let's don't even talk about it. Don't want to think about it. It's troubling to us. And it was troubling to Jesus. He said, I'm troubled by being nailed to the cross, having spikes driven through His flesh, smothering to death, hanging on the cross because the air was cut off by the weight of His body. He knew, though, what His death would mean to all of mankind. And He knew that it was through Him that all people, those 76 million, every one of them, would have opportunity to be saved from their sin. Only through His death, only if He died on the cross, would these people that He knew, that we know, only through His death are we forgiven. Not just them, it's us too. Did we, only through His death did we have opportunity to be saved from our sin. Only through His death did we have the blessing of forgiveness. Only through His death would we who were alienated from God through sin be able to be reunited to fellowship with God the Father and made ready to enter into heaven, where He has promised we can spend eternity with Him. But still, it was troubling. Knowing the benefits of his death for all of mankind, it was troubling. It was distressful to him. It was not something that he sought. Really, he preferred to avoid this death. But he was willing to do it for you and me. You can find how he preferred to avoid it when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it possible, remove this cup from me. But then he submitted or surrendered again to God's will. But I'm willing to do it because I know what it means to all of creation. My soul is troubled. My soul is distressed. What shall I say? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? And then he answers himself. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. So, Father, glorify or honor, extol your name. So Jesus went to the cross. Again, not eagerly, but willingly. Because we needed him so much. Without him, we're lost. To be real blunt, without him, we're on our way to eternal separation from him, from all that is good. We're on our way to punishment for our own sin, which is called death, spiritual death. Without him, we're on our way to an eternity of hell. But with him, we're on our way to heaven. Maybe we're troubled by what Jesus says. Maybe we're troubled by what he asks us to do. At least I am, often. There is much in the Christian life that I don't like to do. There is much in being a minister that troubles me and causes me to be distressed. But if I'm to honor God, I must do even those troubling things. Jesus did that which was troubling to him and distressful to him. And the invitation this morning is that we trust Jesus, to know what he's talking about, and we surrender our life to him, trusting in his death to pay for our sin, in his resurrection as the first fruits of those who will be raised to new life at that resurrection day. That includes us who trust him with our The Greeks came seeking to see Jesus. The invitation this morning is, will you see Jesus? Will you see Jesus through the eyes of faith? Sam often sings a song, I think he wrote it, through the eyes of faith. And that's the only way we can see Jesus. Jesus calls us to come to him. The Greeks came looking for him. Friends, he's calling us to come to him. He certainly welcomed those Greeks. 375 is the number of the song. It's Jesus Calls Us. Let's stand together and sing this great hymn that just reminds us that Jesus wants us to follow. He talked about in this scripture, following him. Now the songwriter has incorporated this into this song. And if you will decide to follow Jesus this day, knowing that much of what he calls you to do will be troubling to you, but it leads to eternal life, as his troubling death leads to our eternal life. You come here if you want to follow Jesus and express that publicly in this altar. 375. Let's do 1 and 3. 1 and 3, please.
Jesus.
Jesus calls us toward the tumult of our lives while restlessly. Day by day His sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still He calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than thee.
Thank you for your attention. Glad that we could share it in this experience with you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Good to see you. Glad you're with us. Okay. Hope you can be with us every chance you get. Okay. We're going down to Easter and going to do Holy Week will be pretty full of activities. Okay. I got to go see a man about a printer. And he is here. Okay. Don't slip off. Can you give me 2 minutes? Okay. Maybe 3. I'll rest up. Oh, yeah. Well, do I need to speak to anybody? Yeah. Okay, your wife. Okay. Well, we just get through. Hi there. No, we're not. don't look at that one. I need Roger right now. How's the rest of your family?
His hand was there.
Okay. I guess we can turn this one off. Here. Okay. Always on that side. How do you turn this one off? I tried to print something, and I couldn't do it. So I just gave up. Joyce was sick. I mean, she is. She sounds terrible. So, yeah, okay. It wouldn't print. And she finally got one blank sheet to come through. Okay. Hey, John and Jean. Hey, lady, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay. Hey, fella, how you doing? It's warm in there. Somebody was fanning. Hey, y'all. How you doing? Hey. Huh? Okay, well, they came this way. Did they go ahead and turn and go that way?
I think they just wanted to grab some coffee. Yeah.
Okay.
I heard the mother said they keep
taking it. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that...
I saw...
What are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, good to see you. She's going to check on her mama. Her mama is real sick. Real sick. Hey there.
No, she did not. You want to do it?
She did not?
No, she called us.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. You want to do it?
Well, I mean, I can.
I was going to see somebody here.
Well, yes, I'll tell you what. Try to get somebody else, and if you can, I'll do it. Okay? I've never really done it before.
Well, you think it's
a good experience? You think it's a good
experience? Yeah.
I mean, is there somebody else you had in mind?
Oh, but you were at the first service.
I was at the first
service. Oh, yeah.
And I can say,
I did not. I said I'd look around this morning.
Okay.
And see.
Well, okay. I can do it.
Okay. You want to? Then you slip out before the sermon if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. We won't fuss at you. That would be good practice. Hey, Keely. Callie. What you know, Jean? Thought you knew everything in the dictionary. I said, I thought you knew everything in the dictionary. Oh yeah, and hers too, yeah. Okay. But she couldn't get anything either. She did put it over here and, you know, run it through both ways. But, yeah. Yeah, off the glass, yeah. And I think she did it. But I think we ended up printing over there.
Okay.
And okay.
All right. Well, you know, this one, the print board, it comes up ready before the copier does.
Okay.
You know, on this one, you've actually got to turn this thing on.
Okay. Well, maybe we better work on this one, and then we'll do this one later.
Okay. Well,
okay.
All right. They're both warming up.
Okay.
They both take about 8 minutes.
Okay.
So, I printed a little test page.
Okay. Okay. Did I say anything? Thank you.